podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hi, this is Joe from fantasyfootballscout.co.uk. You are listening to the captaincy video. If you'd like to check out the video, it is posted every Tuesday over on YouTube. Just search for Fantasy Football Scout. Thanks for listening. Hello and welcome to the latest captaincy video and podcast of the 2022-23 season. We are back after the international break, looking forward to game week 9. My name is Joe, and joining me to pick the best captaincy candidates for this week, game week 9, is Tom Freeman, World Fantasy Football Scouts Deputy Editor. Tom, welcome. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Joe. Just back from a few days away in Italy, which was great. Yeah. But back now and kind of getting into that FPL mode again after what feels like quite a while, doesn't it, since the last game week?
It does as well, because it's not just the fact that we're back after an international break, but we're back after a blank fixture, and then there was a complete blank fixture following the death of the Queen. So we have, I mean, this we've got a normal game week, but of course, after the international break, no game weeks are ever normal, really, because you've got international injuries and also teams come back in sort of strange form as well. So you can get some surprise results. Just before we move on and have a look at, well, we're going to look at the fixtures. We're going to look at the teams to target in terms of the worst defences. A little comparison about some of the players that we're considering, and then we'll reveal our top three picks. And as ever, please do subscribe and press like for the Fantasy Football Scout YouTube channel and all the content that we have on there, so that'll keep you up to date for there. Welcome everyone who is joining us in the live chat. We've got FPL Gaza, we've got IEA96, G-Wiz and Eero exploring and many more. Thanks so much for joining us, and we hope we will help with your captaincy decisions. So let's have a look at these fixtures. Okay, so I've got a big thumbs up from Brendan Rodgers, who is surprisingly got his thumbs up considering Leicester's form this season. But attacking wise, they're not too bad, and they are against Nottingham Forest, so they're top of the fixture tree here. So what do you think? I mean, does this indicate that we could possibly put the armband on a Leicester asset?
I think it's the obvious fixture, isn't it, Joe? I think when you're looking at that, Forest are bottom in so many of the kind of the key defensive metrics. I mean, so are Leicester. So we could have quite an open game there on Monday night and see a few goals. But yeah, that's certainly the fixture which jumps out from looking at them. Beyond that, I mean, you can see just underneath there, there's Brentford, isn't there?
Yeah.
I actually think that's quite a nice fixture to target too. But Bournemouth have improved under O'Neill. Yeah. I think they drew with Newcastle last time out and they beat Forest, but I still look at them and think they can be got at defensively. So yeah, quite like that fixture too.
Okay, so we have Liverpool back. Now Liverpool, it feels like an age since Liverpool have actually played. They've got some of their midfield troops back and they're playing Brighton, and Brighton, conveniently for Liverpool, are with a new manager. So that manager is known for attacking play, but he has shipped a few goals in Italy as well. So that could be good news. I saw Saturday Salah had scored in 8 out of 10 appearances. Do you know where I got that stat from? I think it was from you. Is that
was it? Okay, yeah.
Or rather, one of the Fantasy Football Scout editorial team.
Yeah, he's got a decent record, and I think it is a big fixture you look at this week, and you think you could target it just because it's a bit of an unknown under De Zerbi, isn't it? Like you just said there, Joe. He likes an attacking brand of football. He likes a lot of control, and he's generally opted for a back four. He has used a back three or a back five previously, but generally goes for a back four. So it's going to be really interesting to see, does he come in and try and implement new ideas immediately at Anfield, or does he kind of continue in the way that Potter was playing with like a 3-4-2-1, which let's be honest, have been working really, really well. So it's a hard match to call this, just because we don't know how Brighton are going to approach it.
Now, on the Scoutcast tonight, we're going to talk much more about a bit about Brighton, but also about Chelsea as well and how Potter's there, because we saw some signs last week that he is recreating Brighton in Chelsea, so which is great. So we got Sterling taking the Trossard role of wing back and coincidentally the furthest forward. So that's the bit of Potter magic. Reece James, obviously, is the new Solly March. We all know his skills there, and so it's looking a bit like that. But we'll talk about that in a bit more detail. Because of course, Chelsea against Crystal Palace is a hard one to call, so I'm not sure people would be going there. But Raheem Sterling could be an outside shot for the captaincy, perhaps.
Yeah, I think Palace show up in a lot of the quite low down in a lot of the metrics this year, but they have had a really difficult start to the season. We only have to go back last year to know how good they were at Selhurst Park. So I think that's, I'm quite, and still Chelsea, a bit like Brighton, yes, we've seen one game, but we're still not quite sure. Potter likes to tinker. It wouldn't be a huge surprise if he set up differently against Palace. So, and Sterling will probably be on the opposite side.
He could be in goal, forward to be honest.
Well, he could be anywhere, couldn't he? He could be a centre-back. So, with that one, I'm not kind of looking at that fixture for captaincy, but I don't mind Sterling as a punter. I mean, there's a lot of wild cards being thrown around now, isn't there? And I don't mind it. It's very hard to fit in.
Definitely. And the fixture we have left till last, because we're sort of billing this as alternatives to Haaland. We all know that Erling Haaland is a great captaincy shout, but there are alternatives. And like with last week, other players did score more than him as well. Yeah. So there's definitely advantage to going against the masses, but nevertheless, there's also fear. But Manchester City take on Manchester United, considered the toughest game for Manchester United, not so tough for Manchester City. And I saw today there was it was an old, fairly well oldish interview with Haaland about when he joined Manchester City, which is the team that he's most looking forward to play in. And he not only said it was Manchester United, but he also said he could barely say the words, such as his hinting that such as his contempt for them, obviously with his dad's track record of playing for Leeds and, of course, City as well. So they're traditionally the enemy. So that raises that fixture up for me for Haaland. Do you get that sense as
well? Absolutely, yeah, he's going to be up for this one, isn't he? Yeah. And that's a kind of a scary thought, isn't it, when we consider how he's been playing so far. Yeah. United, we'll touch on it when we look at the defences. United have improved as a defence. Yeah. Have they improved enough to shut City out? I doubt it. Yeah. But they're definitely moving in the right direction.
This podcast is sponsored by Paramount Plus, where Champions League soccer is back. 9 months of heart-stopping, hold-your-breath exhilaration starts on September the 6th with the biggest stars and top teams across Europe. Watch every match from the group stage through to the knockout rounds as Benzema and Real Madrid defend their title against the likes of Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea, PSG, Barcelona and more. Don't miss a single second with Paramount Plus starting from September the 6th.
Well, let's have a look at those defences then. So this is what I've done for the last four matches, because up until now we've been sort of doing all matches. But I think we're at the stage now where we can look at sort of recent at some recent fixtures. But also, obviously that comes with the obvious caveat. So if you played Manchester City, chances are that's going to skew your stats a bit. But nevertheless, we've got the most recent ones. So Bournemouth, worst defence. So what you were saying about Brentford, perhaps. So Tony couldn't get on the pitch for England, but could be an outside bet, really, for the captain. That's what these fixtures perhaps indicate. Nottingham Forest, they're one of the worst expected goals conceded of 7.43. Bournemouth, expected goals conceded of 8.65, and they conceded 12. But Nottingham Forest, 7.43. And they've actually conceded 14, no clean sheets last four. So that is great news if you want to consider perhaps James Maddison for Leicester. And then further down, what you were saying about Manchester United, they've only conceded a couple of goals, but their expected goals conceded is getting on for nearly five. It's 4.85. So that indicates they could have shipped a few more. But they haven't really faced a monster like Haaland yet. But they've had a couple of clean sheets. And then Brighton, they've been doing ever so well under Potter. They now got really attacking managers known for conceding goals. And they face Liverpool and Mohamed Salah has scored in 8 of the previous 10 encounters with Brighton. What do you make of these worst defences then? Which way does that steer you towards the captaincy?
I think if you're just looking at defences, it steers you to probably James Maddison and Leicester, doesn't it? I mean, Forest, if we open that table up to the season, they'd be bottom for XGC. I think they've had one clean sheet across the season, but they were very lucky to get that against West Ham. I mean, they've conceded 6 in their last 2, and they've played Bournemouth and Fulham. That's alarming, isn't it? Mm. If you've conceded that many goals to 2 fellow newly promoted sides. So I think they've got so many new players in there. It's just taking time to gel. The international break probably won't afford them that much because they've got players jetting off everywhere. So I think that's the fixture. If you're purely basing it on defences to target. United as well. They've reacted well in those 4 games, which this sample covers, since that 4-0 against Brentford. And we saw in that match, I was looking at it earlier, you know, Tony caused them so many problems that day, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then you look at the profile of attacker they've faced since, and they've faced Firmino, Che Adams, Jesus. Mm. Very different to what Tony kind of throws up. He's a very much an all-round complete forward, isn't he? Now I can just see Haaland, you know, if he's going to be peeling off to that left side where Martinez plays, isn't he? And he's just going to be looking to win those I can see a lot of crosses into the box, and if they're against each other, he's going to win a lot of those duels, isn't he? So I think they haven't faced a player like Haaland for all this season. But I just think he's going to cause some real problems, as he does with most defences.
There was something I was watching during the international break. I was watching some footage someone on Twitter put together of Haaland and showing, you know, why he's so good. I mean, we all know about, you know, his physical attributes, obviously big, tall, strong, powerful and fast as well, which is always a sort of an unusual combination, but, you know, works well. But it was looking at his movement as well off the ball and finding positions. And he was looking at almost into the eyes of defenders, then looking elsewhere, and then seeing where they were going, and then peeling off. And I think it was the Cancelo assist in particular, when Cancelo assist, and Haaland was suddenly in acres of space. But I don't know how. It was almost like, how did he get there? That's so part effective. Of his skill. He's so young.
And he's not touching the ball often, but it's that movement, like you say, Joe. And he did it against Villa when I was there. And he just peels off, and then he's suddenly free at the back post. I just think he's going to be just every game. It's just you think he's going to score in every match, don't you? And the captaincy, that's what we want.
That's it. And we'll come to our decisions as well. But we do. I mean, no one likes to talk about effective ownership, but when you've got a player that's 185-190% ownership, you're effectively betting against the whole player who's probably the best player this season so far. So that's a call you have to make.
How confident are you that he's going to blank?
I think they're our main captaincy considerations. Absolutely. Leicester against Nottingham Forest, and then Liverpool against Brighton, and then Manchester City against Manchester United. I mean, that's not to discount, say, for example, Tottenham against Arsenal. There's traditionally goals in that game, but Arsenal, a bit of a different beast, bit better defensively, I think. So
hard match to call that, I think. If Thomas Partey is out for Arsenal, I think that might, you know, maybe boost Kane and Son's potential a bit. But it's a difficult one to call. They're two very good teams now, aren't they?
And last 4, Arsenal have got the third best defence in the last 4 matches that they play. Bearing in mind, I've filtered this on in the members area at Fantasy Football Scout, my last 4 matches before anyone thinks that we're sort of, it's not fair, some have played more than 4, etc. Because that's if I went by 4 game weeks. This is the last 4 matches they have played, because we're already it's a bit uneven at the moment. Let's have a look at these player comparisons. So it's Maddison, Haaland and Salah. I'm going to safely say they're the 3 biggies in contention for the captaincy. We can see the difference in price there. Haaland and Salah are the premiums. Maddison is 7.9 currently. He might eventually go up in price if that ever happens, if there's any price changes. Expected goals, just 0.63 last four matches. Haaland, 4, goal a match. Salah, 1.84. Expected assists. Madison, once again, 0.67. So very similar, two-thirds of an assist. Haaland, 0.35. So he's not your assist guy. He's the peel away, I'll score guy. And Salah is expected assists is 1.05, which is the best of the bunch, really, which underlines perhaps that he's been playing a bit wider and he's a bit more of an assister. And shots in the box. Shots on target, I should say. The XG nuts will go mad if I mention shots in the box. But shots on target, Madison is 5, Haaland is 11. 11, that is. That's 11 last four matches. And shots on target for Salah, just 3. So with all that, I was partly saying that for the benefit of those listening to the podcast, but bearing all that in mind, what does this say for your captaincy decision?
Well, it looks like it's Haaland, doesn't it? I mean, he's playing in the best attack in the league, topping all the metrics, whether that be XG or XGI. It's consistency. It hasn't blanked yet, and that's what we want in our captain. So that's where I'll be looking. Mm. I mean, Salah hasn't been at his best this season, but he did score against Ajax in their last game. He's grabbed a couple of goals during the international break. He isn't shooting as often, but he's creating more, as that table tells you. But he's still got a couple of goals and 3 assists in 6 starts this season. So he's still a key part of that Liverpool attack. And I wouldn't write him off at all. But it's very hard to keep up with what Haaland's doing this season at City. Leicester have been really poor, haven't they? Mm. But they're still scoring.
Yeah.
And Madison, you know, they scored 2 at Spurs, 2 against Brighton the week before that. So I think, I think Madison's kind of ticking along, I'd say, isn't he? I think 3 goals so far this season, but he's had the international break off, so he'll be well rested.
Yeah.
And I think if you were to ask me for like a differential captaincy punt this game week, he would be top. So. Yeah.
He's also, it's the last match of the week as well. So we always have hope for those who
Monday night.
Who don't like to captain a Saturday lunchtime or Friday night player. You've got hope all the way through till the disappointment arrives on Monday, or the joy arrives on Monday. Let's have a look at our top 3 picks. It's those 3, isn't it? I'll quickly run through mine, and we'll get yours as well, because we've got a slightly different order. So Haaland is my top choice. Lots of reasons. His particular hatred of Manchester United, the fact that he's superhuman in his positioning and everything about him, and he's owned by pretty much double the amount of players in terms of effective ownership. So you're betting, if you own him but don't captain him, you're betting against him. You want him to absolutely fail, and I'm not sure that's going to happen. James Maddison's my second choice, though. I think he's probably good enough just to own at this stage, but he's my vice captain, definitely. I don't own Mohamed Salah, and if I did, I think I'd still put James Maddison as my vice captain, because I do like that fixture. But Salah, a great option. But I'm not sure whether that's based on previous form, which, of course, is often what we go for. But against Brighton, it's a different Brighton. It's a different Salah, perhaps. But anyway, you want to run through your 3 because you're in a slightly different order.
Yeah, I mean, Haaland, similar to what you just said, then, Joe. Consistency, returning week in, week out. And he's going to be motivated for this one, like you say. So Haaland top pick, 2nd Salah. Still think he's a very good option. He's at home. He's on penalties. He could find himself up against Trossard if they stick to that same system. Could find himself up against Estupinan, who's still settling, possibly if he comes in. And it's a bit of an unknown with De Zerbi. We don't know how they're going to kind of line up, how they're going to approach it. So I still think Salah's never going to be a bad option, in my opinion. So he's 2nd. And then 3rd, Madison, at home, probably facing the worst defence in the league. I think Leicester can score 2 or 3. And if you think they're going to score 2 or 3, Madison as their playmaker is probably going to be involved. So, I think Haaland some way ahead, but then Salah, I don't mind it. And Madison, a great, great differential captain this week, I think.
Yeah, definitely. So hopefully that's given everyone some food for thought about their captaincy. Thanks again for all of those that have joined us in the live chat. Do remember to press subscribe and also like, and go and tell your friends as well. Make sure you keep updated with all of our content at Fantasy Football Scout. In the meantime, Tom, thanks so much for joining me. Good luck with your decision to captain Haaland, but possibly consider Salah and Madison. And I'm going to say good luck to myself with my decision to captain Haaland and maybe Madison as my vice captain. But might even get the armband. Who knows by the end of the week. Thanks a lot, Tom. Good luck.
Great. Thanks, James. See you soon.